Julie Anderson's going to lead us this service and then carry us into some of the prayer. Julie carries prayer for the nations. That's their ministry, their international ministry besides CCF. That is a gift. She is indeed a gift. And she's carried the Lord well for all these years. So we bless you and ask that you would just release God.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Bobby and I were talking about practical things, which I need a lot of help with practical things. It's okay, you know. I woke up this morning and the Holy Spirit reminded me of why we need to come together. He reminded me of faith. And he said, I want you to talk about faith today. So if you want to open your Bibles, we'll start with Romans 4. And who knows where we'll go. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. It's about faith. So, Father, I thank you that when you come, you're going to find faith, persistent faith. There's little faith, big faith, great faith, small faith. But you're going to find persistent faith. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping. We thank you for helping us wherever, whatever situation we're in, we're to bring the kingdom of heaven into the atmosphere around us, whatever that means. Being chirpy, being quiet, being restful, being forceful. But we thank you that your kingdom will not, never, ever pass away. So I thank you for that in Jesus' name. So in thinking about faith, I remembered I had something on my phone. Let's see if we can find it, just to prove that I do use technology. Sometimes, not a lot. Oh, it's not opening, so I need my Nate. No? Oh, because it needs the code. That would help. Okay, so there was a student. This is a little story I'm going to tell you first, then I'm going to read you something. There was a student, and the professor said, have you ever been asked this? You're a Christian, aren't you, son? Have you ever been asked? Well, I thought you were a Christian. You know, I've been asked that, and he just sends you winging to begin with, and then you think, well, I am a Christian. Maybe not your idea of a Christian, but I am a Christian. In my heart, I believe I have faith. So here this professor said to the student, so do you believe in God? Absolutely, said the student. So the professor said, is God good? And the student said, yes. The professor said, my brother died of cancer, even though he prayed to God to heal him. Most of us would attempt to help others who are ill, but God didn't. How is God good then? So do you ever deal with that? Yeah, we all do. We have people in our lives and people close to us, and they say, God is good, but this happened, but that happened, but something didn't. God didn't show up. Huh? So I just want to talk to you about faith a bit. So the student was very silent. Professor said to him, you can't answer that, can you? Let's start again. Young fella, is God good? This is a very basic root issue. And we talked about the goodness of God the first session I had in opening up the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to bring you goodness. Goodness comes from God. So the professor said, is Satan good? So the student said, no. Professor said, where does Satan come from? Student said, from God. That's right, the professor said. Tell me, son, is there evil in this world? Yeah, there is, said the student, yes. So who created evil? Professor asked. The student just had no answer. Sometimes, you know, you learn. God takes you through these seasons where arguments come and you cannot say, you cannot answer, huh? So you just have to be quiet because I have a relative in my family, very close sometimes, who'll just say, why is there all this terror in the world? Why is there all this terrible stuff in the world? And I sometimes can answer, sometimes I can't. Sometimes I just have to say, well, it's because whatever. Okay, now I've lost the place totally. See, maybe, Nate, you can help me. He works in the Genius Bar in Apple. He's in our church. And he's had many miracles, so he knows God is good. Okay, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Nate, if you're praying. So the professor is a professor of science. Well, I'm trying to move into the 21st century and not have all these papers, you know. Anyway, professor said, have you ever felt your God, tasted your God? Have you ever had any sensory perception of God, for that matter? The student said, no, sir, I'm afraid I haven't. Professor said, but you still believe in him. You believe in him. The student said, yes, I do. According to empirical, I guess that means the empire, testable, demonstrable protocol. Science says your God doesn't exist. What do you say to that, son? The student said, nothing. I only have my faith. There comes a time when you just come right back down to where your faith is at. And then that's the bottom line. I was walking through our barn one day and I said, oh God, I just really love this place. I love this. And the Lord spoke to me audibly and he said, faith works by love. And it's really important that what you love is where you put your faith. You hardly dare say sometimes what you love because other people will say, well, I'll have to pray if that's the will of God, when you feel you've already heard and you know. But I'm just saying, faith works by love. So just please remember that when you're thinking about and you're talking about the Holy Spirit. Oopsie, I've done it again. See, this is why I don't think technology is necessarily the best. Sorry, that's just the way I'm an old fogey now. Anyway, the student says, I have faith. Have you ever seen God? Have you ever felt him? He says, no, I haven't, but I still have faith. Have you ever seen him or felt him? Lots of people say, no, I haven't had a manifestation yet, but it's a faith issue. So I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to do something with our faith in the short time we have together. He wants to increase us and encourage us. So Romans 4 tells us in Romans 4:17, let me stick on this and let's just finish this. Not only do I have my faith, and the professor said, is there such a thing as heat? And the student said, yeah, of course there's heat. He said, well, is there such a thing as cold? And he said, yeah. And the professor said, yes. Is there such a thing as cold? And the professor said, yes. The student said, no, sir, there isn't. Student says, sir, you can have lots of heat, even more heat, superheat, mega heat, white heat, a little heat or no heat, anything. We don't have anything called cold. We can hit 458 degrees below zero, which is no heat, but we can't go any further after that. There is no cold. Cold is only a word used to describe the absence of heat. Cold is a word. You couldn't tell me that when we flew to Moscow about 10 or 15 years. No, I don't know, years ago, and we filmed outside, and my face froze. And my eyes watered, and they were frozen on my cheeks. And I said, it's cold here. And my friend said, here, take my coat. And I said, no, it's fine. But she insisted, thank God she did. Anyway, it was cold. It was really cold. There was a pin drop silence in the lecture theatre. A student said, what about darkness, Professor? Is there such a thing as darkness? The professor said, yes. What is night if there isn't darkness? Student said, you're wrong again, sir. Darkness is something where the absence of light is. There's low light, normal light. I mean, I talked to you a little bit the other night about hell in the conference. There's no light there at all. I put my hands up in front of my... I thought, where am I? I wanted to touch something and grab onto something. I couldn't even see my hands. That's scary, you know, that's scary. Anyway, the student said, sir, you're working on the premise of duality. You argue there is life, then there is death, a good God and a bad God. You are viewing the concept of God as something finite, something, sorry, bear with me, we can measure. Sir, science can't even explain electricity and magnetism, but has never seen, much less fully understood, either one. Think about it. I don't know about you, but I pray with somebody in the House of Lords, and their basic life has been about science. And so they're very scientific in their praying, and it's very interesting because I've had to train my spirit to listen hard to God. So I was listening to him this morning, and I was listening about faith. Death is not the opposite of life. Because many times, you know, people die and people think, well, that's it. No, it isn't. It's just the beginning of a new realm. It's hard sometimes to understand how you're going to step into a new realm. And your spirit, I met a friend in Norfolk, oh gosh, years ago. And she said, oh, you haven't changed at all. And I thought, inside, I have. I may look the same as I looked when I was 16 or sailing teenager. But, you know, whatever. She said, you look the same. I thought, but I'm not the same. I've been to every time I look into this mirror, I find something. I'm changed. Every time I think, oh my goodness me. So I was looking this morning into this mirror, and I'll get to that in just a sec. Let me just finish this. So the professor shook his head with a smile, beginning to realize where this argument was going. You see, people will argue with you. They'll argue with you. I just go with the flow, you know, and let the Holy Spirit teach you. If he's teaching you about arguments, just know he's the winner. He's always going to lead us. So it's like, what does he want to say in the... Anyway, there was an uproar in the class at this point, and the professor was getting more and more rattled, and the student said, are you teaching your opinion, sir, or are you a scientist, or are you a preacher? That's why we say, don't listen to what we say just, but go into the book for yourself. Develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit. He wants to do something with you, something special. It may not be the same as the person you live with. That doesn't mean it's not God. It just means you have to do what you have to do. Be teachable for sure. But anyway, the student said, is there anyone in the class who's ever seen your brain? So the class broke out, you know, in laughter. And then the room was quiet again, silent. He said, I guess you'll have to take them on faith. The professor answered, son, I guess you'll have to know that I do have a brain. My brain works differently to your brain. Okay? It's okay. God made it. God's got his hand on it. I have the mind of Christ. So I am led to things that he's showing me. And many times he shows me things way ahead of time, and nobody wants to go there. I don't worry about it anymore. I used to get really rejected and feel, why don't you listen? Now I don't mind. If you don't listen, you don't listen. That's just the way it is, you know. Anyway, the professor said, I guess you'll have to take it on faith that I have a brain. That's it, sir, exactly. The link between man and God is faith. My link with God is faith. Okay? By the way, the student was Einstein. Isn't that incredible? That's when I got that. I went, oh my goodness, you know. So I was thinking about Romans 4:17. It says, As it is written, if you want to pop it up in the Amplified, as it is written, I have made you father of many nations. This is what God said to Abraham. Father of many nations, in the sight of God in whom he believed. He believed God. Listen, God who gives life to the dead and speaks to the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. You know, it's quite hard to call things into being when somebody's resisting coming to this wonderful holy atmosphere that's created in this church, and they just don't understand why you go. Never mind, just keep praying. It'll take time sometimes, but they will bow their knee. Everyone will bow their knee. And there's power in our prayers, and we're going to learn that more and more. Okay, so faith. Let's look over real quick in 2 Chronicles, I think it is. I was thinking this morning about, well, who has changed? 1 Chronicles, 4:9. Jabez, you all know that prayer, I'm sure. But Jabez, the Bible says in 4:9, was honorable above his brothers, but his mother named him Jabez, sorrow maker. There was a big deal in the body of Christ when God was expanding us all. And we were all over the world, people were praying the Jabez prayer. And suddenly man got involved in it all and everybody started looking at, I want my territory enlarged. My spirit hasn't reached its maximum. It's just reached further than it used to. And I long, don't you long? This Holy Spirit conference hasn't finished because the Holy Spirit hasn't finished. We've just learned. We've learned, hopefully, more about the Holy Spirit. Like you said, you've driven down for hours and then suddenly there's another wind. When the wind of the Holy Spirit comes, I can do things I didn't think I could do. So I go with the flow. So Jabez, he's really amazing. His mother called him sorrow maker because she bore him in pain. Listen, it's painful sometimes to give birth. So, and when we went back to England, talk about calling the dead things into life, you know, not just the church, but the unchurch. My heart is for the people outside the church. And I thank God he's going to come like a mighty wind all over the earth in this next move. He's coming big time. So you better get ready. It's like people get ready. There's a train coming. He's coming and it's going to be a smash. When people don't understand the goodness of God, you need to understand the Jabez prayers. There's a lot of things coming at us. So be open to things coming at us. Be open like Jabez was open, to be open to be changed. You know, you don't have to be the same you've always been. The Holy Ghost wants to rearrange things. He wants to give you faith. Okay, so I just want to encourage you, after these, those of you who've been in the conference and those of you who come to church now, have faith in God. Be like Jabez. Jabez cried to the God of Israel, verse 10. He said, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border. I know our borders are being enlarged. You know that. The word says it. Psalm 16, verse 6 is a good one. The lines have fallen in pleasant places. And God's been dealing with my expectancy for months. Psalm 85, I think it is, verse 5 or verse 8, I can't remember. But I know he's saying, come on, be expectant. This isn't just another day that we're alive and knocking on, you know, getting on. It's another day in God. And every day in God, I go leaps and bounds. Who knows what's going to happen today? I don't know. Do I feel physically tired? Yes, of course I do, like you do, if you're being honest. I like people who are honest. My cousin is so honest. It's frightening. My sister rang me up And she, I asked her, how is this second cousin doing? She's frightfully, you know. And she told God to get lost. And my immediate reaction was like, you can't say that to God, you know. But then out of my spirit came these words, oh, well, he prefers an honest heart than somebody just coming and BSing all the time. He likes you to be honest. Be honest with him. I mean, if you don't have faith for finances, tell him. I had to tell him. I had to kind of admit to him, Father, I don't really have faith for finances for this. I feel out of my depth. He says, well, I'm not out of depth. I'm not out of funds. So I guess we should. What time should we stop? 10 after. Okay. So I've got a few more moments. Because I just want to tell you about faith. So Jabez, he's an example in the Old Testament. He said, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and you would keep me from evil so it might not hurt. And God granted his request. That's the most important thing to know. When I say to God, hey, help, he's going to show up. He knows when my mouth needs to be filled with faith, not with doubt, because I'm continually surrounded by doubt. And whether it's admitted or not, you see it. People are pushing. You don't have to push. God's going to do it. The anointing's going to do it. But just thank God that in your prayer life now you've had more understanding of the Holy Spirit and tongues in prayer. Whether you do it fast, whether you do it slow, you do it from your spirit. You know, you just speak to him. Always speak to God. Always have your relationship. Say, thank God, it's another day. My relationship is growing. My faith is growing. So I said, who's an example of somebody who was transformed? So immediately the Lord said, Jabez. So I said, Jabez? That's the Old Testament. He said, get your head out of the way. Because many times we think, oh, this is Old Testament, this is new. Abraham is spoken of in the New Testament, huh? He became the father of many nations. We're going to pray for nations in a bit. I mean, that takes faith. It takes faith. But if you don't have that faith, you can ask for it. You don't have to get grumbly and you don't have to get jealous and grumpy, be a grumpy bear. You don't have to wake up that way, you know. You can wake up listening. Sometimes I'm just listening. What do you want? I want to teach faith. Maybe God wants to do more with Jubilee than the flags and the nations and people getting taken a hit. You know, we're not here to be targets from the enemy. We're here to grow in faith. So you just thank God. I think it's Habakkuk. Now I've taught it here. About, you know, thank you, Lord. I am making progress. Every morning, thank God, I'm making progress. You know, I'm making progress. My nation's being changed. The UK is being changed even as I speak. It's happening. I'm going to go back to a different nation. I feel like I want to come back here. Help. Help. God. I do. I've said it to someone last night and they said, oh my gosh, I'm covered in goosebumps. I said, well, please pray, because I feel like I need to come back. I don't know why yet. I don't have all the parts, but I just feel like we're almost done. But we must have faith. Stand strong. Now, some of you are praying for relatives who look a long way away. Keep praying. Don't give up. I felt like, too, when I said the other day about, let's go to Galatians. I'm not going to teach long. I'm just kind of talking. But I was reading it again this morning, Galatians 6:9. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. Don't grow weary. you know, maybe it feels like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going on. I was just kind of shocked, but I knew that I was supposed to go to Washington earlier in June. I went to Washington, D.C. Cindy had a DEBCO meeting then. Saw Cammy briefly, but it was good. But let's not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly. Maybe you know, I don't know what God's going to do with the rest of my life down here, but I know that in the portion that I'm down here, I must be in faith. I must be, oh, it's too much to go back and forth. It's too much now. I've been over there, gosh, 20, 30 years, September the 15th, 1983, when I went back. And it was a big deal for me then, because I was gung-ho, I was full of faith. I thought everywhere I went, you know, it would just loosen up, things would lighten up. But you know what? People had had no teaching on gates, on intercession or anything. And I got tagged very quickly as the girl who always spoke in tongues. I got tagged very, very quickly. People like, we like to put things in boxes. God doesn't put you in a box. God puts you in places and says, now grow. And trust me, doesn't he? And you go, oh, that's so me, not me, please. No, it doesn't work that way. You get put in the hot seat. I got put in the hot seat when Rod went into hospital. And he said, well, you know how to run a church. You can bring the presence of God. I was like, but I hadn't planned on doing that. And I got in the car and got in his car, which is, you know, our car. But anyway, I got in the car and I drove on into where we have church. We never know where we're going to be every week. We just thank God we gather about 150 or so, 100 of us, I don't know. I'm not into like counting the numbers. I just thank God that these guys come and they sacrifice before they give any money or do anything, and it all keeps going. We just keep it going. And a bus went past me and it said, you're in the hot seat now. And I thought, whoa, I really am, you know, thank you. You know, and you know you mustn't listen to rhemas on buses and things, but you know that many times it does speak to you. God has a way of encouraging us no matter how. But anyway, I just want to encourage you to look, think about, this is not an issue about money or being in a hot seat. This is an issue of faith. It's a faith issue, what you're facing, okay? And so you just check yourself. Like Jabez didn't like being called. I mean, maybe you don't like your name. Call yourself something else. You can do that. It's okay. You can do that. We had a girl working for us at one point, and she changed her name to Elizabeth. It took a long time to make the shift, but God had called her Elizabeth. And she said, I'm going to start going by that name. So I said, okay. But I kept calling her the old name. It's okay. There's grace. There's grace in our lives. There's grace to change. So, Father, we thank you. If we need to make a change, if we need to make a shift, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. There's grace. There's grace and there's your timing for everything. And I thank you. I thank you and I praise you. What we did before doesn't mean it's what we're going to do today or what we do tomorrow. We do thank you for incredible, extraordinary miracles that have happened right in front of our eyes. We thank you. Thank you. Extraordinary miracles. Thank you for the mind of Christ with them. We give you all the glory for everything you do. And even those who get angered and, I don't know, people get nasty, you know. People do, they get nasty next to you. But never mind, you just keep going. You don't grow faint and weary. All that weariness, let it go. Just let it go. It's a wave from you know who. And I'm not Einstein. Anyway, at the right time, Galatians 6:9, at the right time, at the appointed season, you shall reap if we do not loose and relax our courage and faint. And the Lord began to minister to me about harvest. We are so in faith, we can feel a harvest coming in the middle of London. And the Lord said, what right do you have for a harvest? And I said, well, I'm praying every day. No, this was about giving, because I just get to share in the offering, and I get to build people's faith up about giving. God loves a cheerful giver. Whatever you do, do it cheerfully. Do it right. Okay? Sorry, I feel a bit like... like, just do it. You know, I need to get some of those Nike shoes that say, just do it. Just do it. Don't just listen to a lot of word and say, oh, this is... God gifts who he needs for what he needs. Thank God he does. And he wants to use you. He wants to let his Holy Spirit come and fill you and use you. But it's going to take faith. Okay? Okay, so I think I'm done.